Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 16, verses 31 to 33. John chapter 16, verses 31 to 33. Now keep in mind the subject of our lesson today, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Let's read the text. John chapter 16, verse 31. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, this all comes at the conclusion of stuff that the Lord Jesus Christ has been talking to the disciples about. After he had talked to them and given them some instruction about prayer, the little while that he's going to be gone and the little while before he returns, and the parallel to a woman in travail giving birth to a child, they finally came to a place where they confessed that they believed that Jesus Christ came from God. And then the Lord said, verse 31, you know, basically saying, really, you believe that I came from God, really? Okay. He said, I'll say this, do you now believe? He said, well, you fellows are fixing to split. You guys are going to be scattered, every man to his own. You're going to leave me alone. Now, of course, they disagreed with that statement. John doesn't record their disagreement, their vehement disagreement with that statement, but Jesus Christ knew the scriptures, and so he knew exactly what was going to happen. That's a great thing about the Bible. It tells you ahead of time what's fixing to happen, so you don't have any question about it. Of course, there's always kinds of people that have no faith, people that have no understanding of the words of God, people that want to advance their scholarship to try to talk you out of believing what God said, but what he said is plainly stated for you in the Bible to believe. Take, for instance, Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, look at verse 27. Mark chapter 14, look at verse 27. Now watch this. Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. There he's quoting Zechariah 13:7. Now that's the same event that's going on here in John chapter 16. And then he said, verse 28, but after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. I love the way a man characterized Peter the other day. I was listening to some really good preaching. He said, oh, Peter, the one that was always fast with his mouth and fast with the sword. He said, all shall be offended, yet will not I. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now watch it. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. So when Jesus Christ said, John chapter 16, verse 32, ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, they didn't believe him. And that's why he said, verse 31, do you now believe? Well, then they should have believed the scripture, because he quoted them from the scripture and told them that he was quoting from the scripture, from Zechariah 13, and they wouldn't believe. That's a strange thing about the Bible and about faith. People talk all the time about having faith to be healed, and yet many times those very same people who are trying to muster up enough faith so that they don't have to go through some of the difficulties in life, and believe me, I don't want to go through the difficulties of life either, but it's amazing that they have such a hard time believing what was written. Well, they're like the disciples. We all are. There's things in there that sometimes are a little bit hard to swallow. But they are, and the Lord said, do you believe? Well, look what's fixing to happen to you here. So he let them know that they were fixing to split on him. But then, you know something? He didn't jump them out about that. He just said it, and then he said, let me tell you something. He gave them some other things to give them great comfort. He gave them some things that bring us great comfort today. He said, you're going to leave me alone. But I'm not going to be alone because the Father is with me. Now, you know something? That was true. Jesus Christ was not alone. He said to his own Father up there on the cross, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He said to his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So he's talking to his Father. He's having some fellowship up there. Jesus Christ was not left alone. And, of course, his Father came to get him out of the grave. Also, he said, I've told you these things that you might have peace. Then he told him, you're going to have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer, he said. Be of good cheer. You know, that's a difficult thing in times of trouble, to be of good cheer. Very difficult thing. You know, you see somebody that's at a hospital, and their baby's in intensive care. We just recently had a missionary's wife that stayed in constant contact with us about a grandnephew, something like that was in the hospital, had cartilage restricting the airflow in one of his lungs. And so the baby, brand new baby, was in really difficult case, needed emergency surgery. The baby wasn't even a week old when they performed this surgery to remove the cartilage to allow air to pass into the lungs so the baby wouldn't die. Now you go up to that woman and say, be of good cheer. That's a hard thing to do. Imagine going to the mother of the child. Be of good cheer. That's a very hard thing to do. You learn some bad news. You are facing an ailment, financial crisis, facing a distressing situation. And you know something? It is difficult to be of good cheer. But the Lord said, look, I'm fixing to go. I'm going to die. You guys are going to split. Father's going to be with me. You're going to have tribulation, but I'm going to give you some peace. I've overcome the world. See you later. Be of good cheer. Boy, I tell you, that's a tough thing. The Lord talked with Paul about the situation they were in when they were fixing to get shipwrecked, when Paul was taken as a prisoner to Rome. And the Lord spoke to Paul about what was fixing to happen to him, and then Paul spoke to the prisoners and to the captain of the ship and to the soldiers that were there and to the deckhands. He said, be of good cheer. You're fixing to lose your boat, lose the tackling, lose all the supplies, but all of our lives are going to be spared. Be of good cheer. That's a very difficult thing to do. And yet the Lord expects us to be of good cheer in these difficult times because of four things that he said to us in this text. And the first thing is, you'll never be alone. Be of good cheer. You're not alone. He said, I'm not alone. You guys are going to split from me, but my Father will be with me. I'm not going to be alone. And you know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 about the Lord concerning this cross that he was getting ready to go to. That's a terrible thing. But the Bible says in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can you imagine God and the Lord Jesus Christ were able to look beyond the cross to the joy that was set before him, and that therefore he could endure the cross and despise the shame, and could handle and endure the contradiction of sinners against himself? Oh, that's a great thing. That's a good perspective, see? Be of good cheer, he said. You're not going to be alone. You know, excuse me, Paul the Apostle went through the very same thing as the Lord did. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Paul the Apostle had to give an answer to Caesar for his imprisonment, for the accusations that were laid against him. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, Paul said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. That's just what happened to Jesus Christ. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. That's what the Lord said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But watch this thing in verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Oh, there it is. The Lord stood with me. He said, you're not going to be alone. I'm not going to be alone. My Father was with me. You're not going to be alone. I'll be with you. The Lord stood with me, strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And God did take care of him. You're not alone. It may feel like you're alone, but you're not alone. You've got the Lord on your side. You know, they've often said God and you are making a majority. Of course, God's a majority by himself without you. But if you get God with you and you're with God, you are, no matter how many people stand against you. One of the old reformers, John Knox or John Huss, one of those guys, I don't remember which one it was, said, they told him, said, you know something? All the world is against you. You know, in other words, you're standing all alone, pal. Your doctrine of salvation is so strange, nobody is with you. All the world is against you. And you know what he said? Well, if all the world is against me, I am against all the world. I love that. Never alone. But you know something? That's what the Lord promised you and me in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you believe that? You got enough faith to believe Jesus Christ saved you, don't you? I say that, you may be lost. If you're lost, you ought to give us a call at the end of this broadcast so we show you how to get saved. But I am well aware that most of the people that listen to this broadcast are saved. All right, so what are you going to do about it? Well, quit acting like you're alone when you're going through difficult times. You isolate yourself off like cattle do and like wild animals do when they get sick to spare the rest of the herd. They go lay off by themselves and die. The Lord said, don't do that. You're not alone. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Paul had a very, very, very vivid experience with this, more vivid than you and I will have. He's on that boat getting ready to get shipwrecked, and he tells the people that are on that boat, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. What did he say? Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Look, you're not going to be alone. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got thrown into what? A fiery furnace. And when they got thrown in there, who was in there? The Son of God was in there with them. And when they came out, not only were they not burnt, they couldn't even smell smoke on their clothes, nor was their hair singed. Why? They weren't alone. I doubt very seriously that Daniel was alone in the lion's den. The lion of the tribe of Judah was there to secure him and protect him from the devil, the lion that goeth about seeking whom he may devour. God Almighty was down in that pit there with Daniel. He told the devil, he says, you just lay off, pal. I am the lion of the tribe of Judah. There is no other king greater than me. I'm the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You will not touch this man. You're never alone. Never alone. Never alone. So don't act like you are. Don't walk around moping. Be of good cheer. Jesus Christ was not alone. You will not be alone. But that's not all. He said, be of good cheer. Why? You have peace. Verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. He had told them that earlier, you know, in John chapter 14, verse 27, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, this world, strange place that it is always bent on scaring you. That's the way commerce really functions. You're not going to be accepted by the in crowd if you don't drive this fancy automobile. And you have this fear that you have to have a status, see? Or you're not going to be with the in crowd if you don't buy and wear these kinds of clothes. What's underneath that is fear. You stand the loss of great financial expectation if you don't buy this insurance policy. You fear motivates you to get it. You stand the possibility of being destitute in your old age if you don't buy our financial investments, retirement plans, pension plans, IRAs, and everything. Fear, 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 fear. On and on this thing goes. And all of that is designed to stir up your heart and to steal your peace and trouble you. And the world makes a lot of money off of that. And Jesus Christ said, forget all that nonsense. You have peace. That's what he said. I have spoken, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. And that's true. In Jesus Christ, you do have peace. You know, prayer is a great thing. We talked an awful lot about it last week. Prayer is a wonderful thing. The reason that prayer is so good is that mysteriously, in an unseen way, the work of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ go on inside of your prayer life and supply you with peace. He said, be careful for nothing. The world says, be very careful. But the Lord said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe that? That's a great verse right there. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and other things. In other words, there is no reason legitimately for a Christian to worry. The old timer said, worry is a sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, see? Worry is the absence of faith. Worry is the advanced interest you pay on trouble that never comes or seldom comes. Peace. You ever read the letters that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, all those things? You know, by the first, second, third verse in every letter that he wrote nearly, he says, grace and peace be unto thee. That's the way he starts all of his letters. Why? Because he wanted those congregations to be settled down in the confidence of the love and grace and provisions of the Lord God Almighty and in the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ within them. There's no reason to worry. But we always find ourselves in stressful situations. Yes, we do. But he said, in me ye shall have peace. In me you might have peace. You know, when we're upset, scattered, fidgety, concerned, weighed down with worry and care and concern, you know what we want to do? We want to tell somebody. Now, you go to your place of work, you go to your family, whatever like that, and you're weighed down with cares and concerns of this world, and you begin to tell them, you know, what's bothering you. And when you do, if they're not saved, they have to begin to scratch their head and say, now, wait a minute. If you don't have anything in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that secures you a place of peace and comfort that goes beyond what the world already has, then why in the world do I need the Lord Jesus Christ? You see that? You've got peace. You ought to rest in that peace. You're not alone. You ought to rest in the comfort of the companionship of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not all. He said, be of good cheer. Why? Because you're going to have tribulation. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to be happy about that? Are you crazy? People say Christianity is a crutch. There's no such thing. Christianity cannot be a crutch because God raises a standard above anything that is humanly possible. He said, love your enemies. That's not humanly possible consistently. And yet that is the standard for a Christian. Love one another. Standard for a Christian. Be of good cheer in tribulation. Standard for a Christian. Crutch my foot. The world has its crutches. Covetousness, pride, alcohol, drugs, sex, movies, entertainment. Don't kid me. The world tries to put you down as a Christian by saying you've trusted Jesus Christ as a crutch. You tell them they can stick that crutch up their nose. Christianity is anything but a crutch. Christianity is a great benefit, but it tells you in Christianity you can have cheer in tribulation. You say, how is that possible? Well, look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It's a mysterious thing. People say God works in mysterious ways. This is a great mystery here. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? First thing on the list. And then he lists a bunch of others. You know, distress, you got that. Persecution, you get that from time to time. Famine, well, you might have to miss lunch once in a while. It feels like a famine, doesn't it? Nakedness, peril, sword, nakedness. Oh, I wore that last week. Oh, my God, I don't have anything to wear. Americans, we're funny, you know it. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You and I can have peace and comfort, joy and cheer and tribulation because, hey, look, when they finally kill you, what are you going to do? You're going to wake up in the arms of Jesus Christ. What could be better than that? You say, well, I want to see this and that. I'm telling you, when you get close to the Lord Jesus Christ and you really realize that heaven is your home after all, you know, you'll be like Paul. They stoned Paul outside of Derbe and Lystra. You know what he did when he got up from that nightmare? He went right back into the very town where they had tried to stone him and kill him. Like a preacher said, they didn't finish the job. Why? He saw visions of heaven, things that were unspeakable. I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. He saw that stuff. And you know what he said? Man, I want to go back. For me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He wanted to go back. Why couldn't you be cheerful about that? The old martyrs, when they died, they started singing hymns. They started praising God. Why? I'm going home, man. Going home to see my Jesus. Romans chapter 5, we get some benefits. There's no reason not to be cheerful in tribulation. We get some benefits out of this stuff. Romans 5:3 says, we glory in tribulations. See, Christians are nuts, man. We're just crazy when it comes to things like this. We rejoice in tribulations, glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Well, we all need more of that. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. Hope maketh not ashamed. Because why? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know the thing that wins this world over for Jesus Christ? Is the true love of the Lord Jesus Christ manifest in our demeanor and in our lives and in our voices as Christians. You see, the devil's clever. He's gotten inside of these Christian churches and split us all to pieces. And then the world sees that and they say, well, what do I need in Christianity? You guys can't get along any better than we do in a bar room. And there's a lot of truth in that. The devil's very clever in splitting up the body of Christ. But boy, I'll tell you what, when you go through tribulation and you get all these other benefits, then the love of the God of Almighty starts being shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. That is something that the world cannot produce. And that's why God takes us through that. He told us in James chapter 1, he said, you know what you need to do when you go through trouble? You need to rejoice, man. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Christians shouldn't have a want of anything. Why? Because having gone through tribulation, man, you come out on the other side of that thing and you're happy, man. The Bible says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, it ought to be a great concern to you and me if we're not going through some sort of tribulation, some point in time in our Christian life, and I'll tell you why. Because he said, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And when you and I don't, you know, you kind of look at yourself in the mirror and say, and am I shying away from living a godly life? If I'm so worldly in my life that there's no difference between me and everybody that's lost, so that I'm never persecuted and never suffer tribulation because I look like the world? See, it's a great concern, but boy, you rejoice. You know why you rejoice in her good cheer? Because when you catch a little tribulation, a little persecution coming your way by the world or by the devil or by the flesh, you know, it reaffirms to you that, bless God, I am living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ought to be something to cheer you up a little bit. Kind of a reality check. But let me tell you something. There's another reason to be of good cheer, not only because you're not alone, never alone, not only because you have peace, not only because you're going to have some tribulation, but you know what? You've overcome. Jesus said right here, he said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know what? He passed that along to you and me. And there are two places where John writes in his epistle. 1 John 4:4, 1 John 5:4. He says this, 1 John 4:4, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Well, you and I are born of God. We've overcome the world. That's a great thing. You say, well, you know this old world is a pretty ominous place. Yes, it is. I've got friends of mine that have faced really some very, very bad things from this world in the way of persecution, in the way of legal entanglements, problems that come along. And you know something? They ride through those storms with such peace and with such grace and with such cheer and with such overcoming power and faith that you have to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it was God Almighty that took every step of the way for them, because He said, I'll never leave you alone. I've given you peace. A little tribulation comes your way, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So have you. You know something? And I believe this with all my heart. Every time we get distressed, we need to be remembering things like this. Many, many, many of us as Christians are not experiencing the great brunt of a head-on collision with the devil or a head-on collision with the world. Much of the stuff that is weighing us down as Christians is just stress. The stress of functioning in a world that is designed to keep you scared and to keep you tangled up, where you're constantly having to mess with things just to live. And in all of that, the world is looking for Christians to walk around with a big frown and a big mopey face instead of being able to have cheer in the solid knowledge that, hey man, we are not alone in this. We have overcome in this. We are walking in the peace of God in spite of the tribulation. And when the world sees in you and in the world sees in me that we can take it and they can't, they're going to be coming around asking questions about, hey, how do we get what you've got? And we'll tell them it's not with psychiatrists, it's not with psychologists, it's not with counseling, it's not with drugs, it's in Jesus Christ, because He said, in me shall you have peace. And that's what we need to show them. That's what we need to tell them. That's the saving grace this world is going to have. It's in Jesus Christ and nothing else. Oh, I hope you'll carry that message in your demeanor and in your voice everywhere you go, that other people's lives will be changed by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. That's my prayer. That's my hope. That's the desire of this book.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.